Hi. My name is Ashley Beadle, and I'm just going to dive right in. So, my mom was raised Catholic, and my dad was raised as a Baptist. They had me when my mom was freshly 21 and my dad was freshly 20. They were together all of 2 months of my life and then separated. They were never married. And I would not describe them as pursuing Christ in my life or even now as an adult. But being able to look back, I can see more and more of how like worldly of an upbringing I had. Some examples, obviously, I was born out of wedlock. My step parents have been in my life since I was two, but for the longest time, they just like lived in my house before my parents married either of them. I was 6 when my dad finally got married and 21 when my mom finally got married. Some of the other things were like, Tony and I were just talking about this past weekend, that there are so many movies that he hasn't seen. And it's like, have you not seen that? And he's just like, I don't know, like Terminator or something like that. And it's just like, that's probably not a movie that like a 6-year-old should see. You know what I mean? So I saw like, I was not sheltered for really at all. I had my first drink when I was 13 from my godfather by my mother's approval. I was introduced to alcohol at a young age. My mom and stepdad would have like wild fights, probably monthly, and the kind that like the neighborhood hears. It wasn't just at my mom's house that I experienced lots of yelling, also at my dad's house. But it wasn't like my dad and stepmom fought. It was just my dad had some anger issues. I would see my dad every other weekend. Then I lived at my mom's for the most part. With my stepdad, I have 3 older siblings. I idolized them because at that time I was an only child. So when they came over every other weekend because their parents were obviously separated as well. And I wanted to do anything that they did. And they were just more worldly examples. Of course, they're only children, knowing the ways of the world that they were raised in. Anything that they did or were into or anything like that, I was all about. I have my sister who's 6 years older than me, brother who's 5 years older than me, and then a sister who's 2 years older than me. They knew a lot already. So, like at the age of 5, I knew what sex was because of them and the things that they knew. Growing up in my mom's house, from a worldly perspective, I was like the good kid because they had like these 3 children that were already like bringing boyfriends and girlfriends over to the house and staying the night and things like that. I, from a worldly perspective, was a pretty good, clean-cut kid. I went to a Catholic all-girls high school, I wasn't interested in doing that. Because I had friends from middle school who weren't doing that, but now I can see God's hand in it. That was the first time that I saw the example of somebody who had a real relationship with Christ. It was my freshman religion teacher, and it was just like amazing. Like she had a real living relationship, and I had never seen that before in anyone's life. Not constantly in anyone's life, anyways. I can see now the sovereignty of God's hand. One of my really close friends before I went to high school, we had caught up later, and she was like pregnant before graduating and things like that, and into drugs and stuff. And I just know that if God hadn't taken me on that different direction, that would have been right there with her. This school also helped prepare me for college. Something that, aside from an aunt on my mom's side and a cousin on my dad's side, I was the very first person to get a bachelor's degree in my family. My dad took a semester of college and decided it wasn't for him, and my mom got her associate's degree after I was born. I think my dad's parents, I think one of them had like an 8th grade education and the other one didn't finish high school. And then my mom's parents had a high school education. I always just, that's something that I just find amazing, because that's not how Tony's family was. Like, they all have degrees and stuff. So it just, like, blows my mind to think, like, I didn't have that example. But God's still, that's still part of my path. And it's led me to where I am now. So college is where I came to know Christ. I went to the University of Kentucky. And when I started college, my priority was friends. So I wasn't interested in God at all. He was not on my radar. And that was just not what I was interested in, but is what he led me to. The friends that I could find were involved in student ministry. So I ended up spending a lot of time with believers. And the spring semester of my junior year, I was baptized. April of 2010, I was baptized. But it wasn't something that was like this life conversion. It was almost kind of like a lot of people experience when they're young in the church and you just kind of like see other people doing it and you're like, I'm going to be like that, you know, and like have morals and things like that. So you just like give your life to Christ. but it wasn't until the last semester of my senior year that I truly surrendered my life to Christ. It was in like December of 2010, January of 2011. I have this aunt who I consider my spiritual mother. And she, her husband had a career in the Air Force. So they moved around a lot in like every year and a half, 2 years or something. And it was usually nowhere close to where I lived. So I didn't see her a whole lot. However, I was on God's radar and he put me on her heart. And for 6 or 7 years, she prayed for my salvation before it came to fruition. I have one, thank you. she prayed for my salvation for 6 or 7 years before it actually happened. And it just so happened that by the time I got into college, they were stationed just 2.5 hours north from where I was going to college, and they were there for like 5 or 6 years, which was didn't happen for the entire 25 years that my uncle was in the Air Force. So that was pretty wild. So I started spending a lot of time at her house. I just loved going there, and I didn't really connect the dots until after just realizing it was Christ, that her and her household loved and served Christ. And that's what attracted me to spend so much time up there. So in December of 2010, it was my last winter break of college, and I was spending time up there at her house, and it was like I would pass my family in like the Cincinnati area and like go up to my aunt's house. So it was like, okay, bye family, I'm not going to hang out with you, I'm going to go see my aunt. she just got really honest with me and pointed out that, you know, I had given my life to Christ and was baptized in April of 2010. And now we're in December of the same year, and I'm still this baby Christian on milk and not meat. And through that conversation, I just felt led by the Holy Spirit, now I know, to just, like, share what felt like this huge, I guess, secret or burden. And I just broke down and I told her, you know, I had an addiction to pornography. And Satan had me so convinced that I was the only one and that I wouldn't be loved if anyone knew, and that I was just not worthy. So it was there that evening in her living room that I surrendered my life to Christ, and everything changed. It was so different from being baptized, dunked in the water, and coming out. It was just like, it was different. It was like this weight was gone, and I no longer had to hide who I was and cover up. I felt known. Let's see. So that happened right before 2011, and 2011 was like a huge pivotal year for me. My aunt began discipling me as I was finishing up college. And I just grew in Christ as she poured into me and encouraged my pursuit of Christ. I grew up deeply dependent and connected on my family. Our family dynamics were just so, now I can look back and see like how unhealthy and dysfunctional our family was and how like healthy families don't operate that way. I was gonna say normal, but I guess nobody really has a normal family. I just had like for years, let's see. So like out of, you know, I think I have like 9 or 10 aunts and uncles and however many cousins, and I have a larger family. And I mean, like a handful of people moved away. It's just like everybody stays there in that area. And so I just always thought, like, I'm just going to go back to Northern Kentucky, and it's safe. I can move in with my mom and stepdad once I graduate, and it'll be fine. You know, I won't have a job probably right out of college, so it's, like, the safe option and makes sense. And God had other plans. Between that conversation with my aunt and really surrendering my life to Christ to graduation, I made the decision that I was going to stay in Lexington, Kentucky, and that there was no turning back. I made this decision not having anywhere to live because I had a roommate and our lease was up, you know, after graduation. And I wasn't planning on finding a place. I didn't have a reliable car because we come from a family where it's just like you always, like my stepdad would just always fix it up. So I had a junk car. I had a temporary job that I knew I had until December, making $10 an hour with no benefits. So it really wasn't that glamorous. All of my friends were going to move away by May because they were done with college. I didn't have a home church because when you're in college, usually it's like the campus ministry versus actually being rooted in a local church. And I had about $40,000 in student debt that I was going to have to pay off once I graduated. But I knew I had to stay in Lexington. I knew that my relationship with Christ would suffer, if not die, if I returned to Northern Kentucky. I didn't have a support system there, and the people there weren't going to encourage that relationship. Some scripture always comes to mind when I think about this moment in my life. There's this scripture in 1 Kings 19:21, and it's about Elisha. Elisha? Maybe that's Elisha. So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and give it to the people. They ate. Then he set out to follow Elisha and become his servant. And I think about that because it was that moment in my life where, like, I had to kill the oxen and burn the plow. And no turning back. It also makes me think of Luke 19:61-62. Then someone said to Jesus, I want to follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and take care of the things at home. Jesus answered, anyone who starts plowing and keeps looking back isn't worth a thing to God's kingdom. So again, there's just no looking back once I was committed to Christ. Another scripture that really just kind of captures what that decision and what that year was for me comes from Matthew 11:28-30. This is the message version, so it'll read a little different. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. After this decision, I encountered God in miraculous ways because of my decision to stay in Lexington and not return to Northern Kentucky. I came to know God as my provider. I found this basement apartment. And when I think about the details of this, I'm just, like, blown away. So it was an apartment that was less than $500 a month, utilities included. So that was literally, like, all I had to pay was $495 every month, and I was set. And what's even wilder, I had never really thought about it until I was getting ready to do this. Like, it doesn't even exist anymore, because when I was moving out, because I was getting married, like, I received a sign on my door saying that it was under new management, and they had plans to, like, fix it up and obviously raise rent. So, like, that deal doesn't even exist anymore. God provided me a permanent job with benefits that was just 30 minutes away in Frankfurt. I also was able to buy a new car because of that, like the first new car that I'd ever owned, and bought it on my own. It was so wild. And then because of the job, I was also able to start paying off my loans. By 2016, my second year of marriage, we had like slayed my student loan debt, which like blows my mind at God's ability to provide in that way. Not returning to Kentucky also meant that I had to learn how to set healthy boundaries. One of the biggest areas that I had to learn this was with my stepdad and my step-siblings, because I just idolized them so much. My stepdad, so I didn't have a great relationship with my own dad because of his own anger issues. I only saw him every other weekend, and he worked a lot, and he really wasn't, like, interested in, like, investing in time with us. Like, I can remember him always being like, oh, we'll go to the circus, and it was, like, every year I remember, not every year, but I remember many years talking about that, and it's like he never got around to taking me. And by the time I was, like, I don't know, maybe, like, 23, we finally went to the circus. he had serious anger issues, so it's just something that is, like, I didn't get along with my dad. So I was looking for a father figure, and I really clung to my stepdad, likely because my mom lived with him, so he was just always there, you know, and could fill that father figure. And so my relationship with my stepdad was just, like, so unhealthy in the sense where I idolized him so much, but it was just like, I mean, I still struggle with scars of, like, he would talk about my weight when I was growing up, and he always called me, like, a spoiled brat. Just like Satan in the flesh of wanting to bring you down and put you in your place. But for some reason, I still totally idolized the man. So I knew I had to cut that relationship. I can even remember one time, because I looked up to him so much. I was in high school for sure, maybe 16, and I did something that made him angry, and we would play basketball. That was something that we would do together, is just like shoot hoops in our driveway. And I don't know, he was just angry at me, so he like literally gave me the silent treatment for the whole day. And it was just like, it was crazy, like this 40-year-old man just like giving me a silent treatment to like teach me a lesson. But anyways, so I meant having to set healthy boundaries with my stepdad, my step-siblings, and even my mom, because it was just an unhealthy relationship that I don't think she ever has seen past. But anyways, so one of the things was like they had filed bankruptcy earlier when I was in college, and we're still going through the process of that. So while I was still kind of like staying there over the summers, they like needed to use my credit to get stuff like cable. So I had to tell them, you're done with that. Like, I'm moving out and I'm going to be on my own, so you have to get rid of that. And they were not happy. Again, they just thought my stepdad just thought I was a spoiled brat. I opened credit cards for them for whatever reason. Unhealthy. That should have been a sign. Also in Kentucky, there's this thing called the Keys Scholarship. They might have it for every state, but it's like if you graduate high school from that state with good enough grades, you'll get like, they call it a scholarship, but it's really kind of more of like a tax credit. And it was $2,000 that you would get a year, so nothing like huge, but it was still something. And they were receiving that because I was going to school, and they never shared that with me. So in 2011, because I was going to claim myself because I had my own job, I told them, like, I'm claiming this. And again, they weren't happy because it was money that they weren't getting. God allowed me to see, though, just how unhealthy those relationships were. But he's also brought me so far through that and past that that it's, like, it's not bitterness at all. It's just sad because of the brokenness that they're still in. So this also meant financial independence, which was super awesome because, like I said, the family that I came from was just like family was always lending to family. A sibling always needed money, so then they were getting lended money and just crazy stuff. It was, like I said, I can now see how unhealthy that is. And I also got to experience God in this year as my best friend, something that I just hadn't seen from God before. I missed so many family events, birthdays, cookouts, get-togethers just because. And for the first few months, it was so lonely and difficult. But I found Christ. I found contentment in Him. I'm not saying this out of need, for I have learned to be content regardless of my circumstances. Philippians 4:11. I clung to that verse and the couple after it for that year. So I began dating my first boyfriend at the age of 22. It was by God's grace that it took so long for me to get a boyfriend because I really struggled with lust and sexual temptation in that relationship, and even in the one after that with Tony. And that was just difficult to know Christ now and to love Christ and to struggle with that still. But I realized after 3 months in that relationship, that there's a big difference between being a Christian like this guy that I was dating and pursuing Christ. So after 3 months, I ended it. A couple months after that, this jock, or perhaps meathead is a better way to describe him, began working like 20 feet from my desk. His name is Tony. I'm married to him now. His family is still really amused when I talk about that because he's nerdy and he's really sensitive, so not really much of a jock. But what I saw of him is that he was not pursuing Christ. He had very colorful language. He only cared about lifting weights, all things sports. I really think he had a sports addiction, which God has delivered him from, and having a really good time with his buddies and drinking too much. So I wasn't interested in him. A year passed after he was working there, and we got to, like, we did hangouts. We were kind of another generation coming into that workforce for the state of Kentucky, and we'd do, like, softball games and stuff, like a bunch of people who were new and our age, 20-somethings. So I spent a bit of time with him. I never had any idea that he was interested in me, really, until he asked me out, and I was shocked. I had never been pursued by a guy like that before, like Tony pursued me. So I was definitely caught up in that by being so pursued and desired. However, it was really important to me that I was with a believer. And he just so happened to share with me when we were getting together talking about this, when he asked me, and I was very hesitant and wanted to know more about who like he really was and where his faith was. And he said that his sister, who was a new believer, had just told him, pray about it. And he said that he did. So because of that, I agreed to go ahead and go out with him. The first month of dating, I was continually placing that relationship on God's altar, willing to sacrifice it at a moment's notice, just because Tony wasn't really pursuing Christ then. And by the end of the first month of dating, I just told him, you know, you said you want to grow closer to God, but you're just not doing that. You know, you're in your same lifestyle and whatnot. So I just can't be with somebody who's not pursuing God. And it just opened his eyes. And he said, you know, that he really wanted to. So we didn't separate or anything. We didn't break up or anything like that. We stayed together, and he really did start making steps. I don't want to overshare on his testimony, but I just look back at who he was when I began dating him and the man in Christ that he is now, and I'm just like blown away, you know, when you pray for your spouse or anyone that you pray for, and to just see the transition and know what you were in when you were praying for that, and just not knowing if it was worth hoping in the change. I'm just so thankful for God's goodness. 3 months into dating, Tony proposed to me, which shocked me because he had girlfriends before me that were like year-long, like years, relationships. So I wasn't even like ready for that. However, I did say yes. He'll He loves to remind me of how many times I was like, "Are you serious?" Because I was 3 months, and he was never like, "Hey, do you think you might want to get married?" Like we talked about the important things like children and whatnot, but I just didn't know that that was on his radar. So he said, "I talked to your dad, da 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 da. I drove up to Cincinnati and I got coffee with him and I asked him." I was like, "Okay." And I was like, "What about my mom?" Because my parents were separated. And he's like, "Yeah, I talked to her." And then he's like, "I even talked to your aunt, who I consider to be my spiritual mother." And I was like shocked by that. I was like, "Okay, I guess I have no reason to say no." 1 year after we began dating, we got married in July of 2014. By the time God really grew us, for those of you who are married and have been married, it's a huge transition. And by 2016, we were both looking for new jobs. We were just really unhappy with where we were. We were overworked, especially Tony, and underpaid, and we had little room for promotion in the jobs that we were at. So in November of 2016, we both interviewed for jobs down in Nashville. I didn't receive an offer. I know I would have hated that job anyways. And Tony received his offer, but he turned it down. We just knew that Nashville wasn't where God was calling us. We had some godly counsel that was kind of surprised by our decision to do that because it was a job offer. But it's cool to look back now and know, like, God was sovereign. Like, even though maybe our godly counsel didn't totally agree with it, like, we can see God's hand in it now. And when he did turn it down, we knew that he had a interview here in Athens, making significantly more money. It, like, doubled his salary and was more than what we made together in Kentucky. So in December of 2016, Tony interviewed, and about a week later, he received the offer. And they also told him 2 or 3 weeks from then that he would need to start down here in Athens. So it was pretty wild. So that Christmas, we told our family, "Guess what, guys? We're going to Georgia." 2017, Tony left for Athens, and like a week after we moved him down here, I sent him a fun text message that was a picture of a positive pregnancy test. We had been trying since July or August of the previous year, so by the time all of this job stuff came around, it was like totally off our radar, and it was shocking that like my husband is no longer in the city, but somehow I am pregnant. So it must have been the goodbye. By that February, we got the privilege, I guess, to tell our family, like, "Okay, we're moving to Georgia and we're taking your first grandchild." So yeah, they were not stoked about that. But it was amazing. God's timing is just so amazing. So that also meant moving down here, that it provided us the opportunity to. We had been talking about me being the stay-at-home mom long before this, as we were trying, and it was just something that Tony was really on the fence about. But I knew, like, it was just God's will, that he wanted that for our family, and so this job down here provided me the ability to easily, without question, just like stay-at-home mom. So that was awesome. So I'm just gonna close. That brings us up to now, and I'm just gonna leave you with two pieces of scripture that, as I was reflecting on all that God's brought me through, these just came to mind, really resonated with me. Romans 8:28, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Ephesians 3:20 and 21. "Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him and the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen."